Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Now a second scripture lesson from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last Thursday, the front page of the Marietta Daily Journal featured the headline, "Kennesaw Church Expelled." Such a headline made the front page because of the Townview Baptist Church, who was, quote, kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention. This was a painful article to read for a number of reasons, one of those reasons being quite self-centered, because I, as a preacher, felt sorry for the pastor who said, "This is kind of like hearing from your family that you don't belong anymore." I also felt sorry for the family who found themselves at the center of this controversy. They are a couple with three adopted children who just wanted a church to belong to and not a denominational schism. Then, at the same time, I felt pride and admiration because this church exemplifies the gospel call in a particular way. Maybe like you, I know that sometimes a church must make a hard decision. And whenever a church decides to embody the love of Jesus Christ over and against the approval of a governing body, I rejoice. Because I believe in doing so, they make plain both the cost and the benefit of discipleship. Following Jesus does cost something. Doing the right thing often costs something. And the Lord himself makes the cost of discipleship absolutely plain in our second scripture lesson from the Gospel of Mark. For any who have struggled to see that the Christian faith promises a cross and not a Cadillac, need to listen to this. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Why did Peter rebuke him? Why did Peter have to take Jesus aside? It's because Peter didn't want Jesus to be that kind of Messiah. Peter didn't think that suffering had anything to do with being the Messiah. In a world of quick fixes and simplified solutions, who would follow a Messiah who suffered? Peter wanted a nice, quiet Messiah who would be everyone's friend. He wanted Jesus to be someone who everyone could cheer for in a great parade, a savior and a friend who would one day retire with him to the beach, and together Peter and Jesus could look back on all their years of ministry, and Peter would say to his friend in the beach chair beside him, "Jesus has been a wonderful life, hasn't it?" And maybe there was a part of Jesus that wanted this kind of life too, so he must rebuke Peter just as he rebuked the devil in the wilderness. "Get behind me, Satan," he said to his friend, "for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Isn't it easy to set your mind on human things? Isn't it easy to get all caught up in what everyone thinks? But not everyone does, or not everyone does all the time. When the great evangelist, Reverend Billy Graham, died, I remembered one of his most famous quotes. "My home is in heaven. I'm just passing through this world." That was him, maybe on a good day. For the rest of us, it's easy to get stuck in this world. Isn't it easy to set your mind on human things? A Puritan prayer book that I love says it this way: "O Savior of sinners, raise me above the smiles and frowns of the world, regarding it as a light thing to be judged by mortals." Do you know anyone who needs to pray that prayer? Certainly I do. I need it. Maybe you need it too. In this strange time of COVID-19, isn't a prayer like that one that we all need to pray? For friends, forge ahead with plans to get together. Maybe something inside of you says, is that really what we should be doing? Parents have to help their children make even more difficult decisions than ever, because now, should your son finally make the basketball team, you have to decide whether or not to even let him play. And loving our kids and letting them do something that allows them to feel normal for just a moment, is that more loving than encouraging them to be safe, going to lengths to keep them free of this virus, keeping them behind a mask? And every single large and small decision, we must weigh all these options. We must constantly ask ourselves, how do I protect myself and my family? How do I protect my children? How can I keep them from being social outcasts when I'm constantly faced with mollifying one group of people but disappointing another? How can we even speak in this divided nation anymore? These days it's all become so politicized. Even blatantly obvious statements like "Black Lives Matter" carry with them not just the undeniable value of human life, but allegiance to a particular group of people and a particular way of seeing the world. You know this struggle as well as I do. You know that it is a fool's errand to try and walk the middle path, trying to appease everyone, although I have been that fool again and again and again, and I bet you have too. You lean one way and you're someone's hero, but someone else's enemy. And it sure does feel like you're dying a slow death if you are unable to rise above the smiles and frowns of the world. If it is impossible for you to regard it as a light thing to be judged by mortals because your mind is set on human things. So that's what Jesus said to Peter. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. And if that's the way we choose to live our lives, persistently attempting to gain the approval of the crowd, the denomination, or the neighborhood, then it's going to be nothing but torture for us from here on out. That's how it was for me in my first year of ministry. I began my ministry at Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church out in Lilburn, Georgia. And I was dead set on being everything to everybody, even if it killed me. Someone asked me if I liked to listen to The Fish, that Christian radio station, and so I started to listen to it, even though I hated it. A group of people wanted me to start a Bible study for them, and so I helped them get it going. And then another group wanted a Bible study, then another one. And before long, I was leading a Bible study on every day of the week, listening to The Fish in the car. There was no place of solace. I was trying to please someone everywhere I went. So basically, the hardest thing about my first year of ministry was that I was trying to be not the pastor who I was, not the pastor who God created to me to be, but the pastor who I thought they wanted me to be. And then one day I woke up and there was this rash on my stomach. Started out red and itchy and it wouldn't go away. Sarah finally sent me to the doctor, and the doctor told me that it was hives and that he could give me some medicine for it, but really it was just from stress. And what I needed to do was find a way to relax. "You're a preacher, right?" my doctor asked. I told him that I was, and so he said again, "What you need to do is find a way to relax. Have you ever heard of prayer?" What is prayer? But the opportunity to remember again that our identity and our value comes not from humans, but from God. That our primary relationship must be between us and our Creator. To quote that great prayer of illumination, "Lord, among all the changing words of this generation, speak to us your eternal word, which does not change." We pray this prayer because it is God's voice which defines us, not the whispers of the gossips or the pressure to conform. Jesus did ask his disciples, "Who did they say that I am?" Though the difference between him asking this question and us asking the same is that he didn't really care what they said about him. He already knew. For us, it takes a little bit more work and a constant willingness to try and remember. In this busy world, we all have to slow down and accept it. We all have to listen for it because it's right there for us, rather than speed up and try to earn it or buckle down and feel like we've gotten there. We must silence the crowd constantly whispering in our ears that we might listen to the one voice that truly matters. Because we will never get there, and none of us will ever find rest until we rest in the God who can tell us who we are. In our baptism, the Lord told us all about it. "You are mine, you are mine, you are mine. You are beloved, you are beloved, you are beloved, and with you, even you, I am well pleased." The difference between Jesus and all of us is that he never for a second forgot it. He was always bold to believe it, and he never depended on human beings to tell him who he was or what he ought to be doing. Let all prayer be, O Savior of sinners. Raise me above the smiles and frowns of the world, regarding it as a light thing to be judged by mortals. And may our song be like that great, but not very fun to sing hymn, How Clear Is Our Vocation, Lord, which goes like this. If worldly pressures fray the mind and love itself cannot unwind its tangled skin of care, our inward life repair. For how will we make it to the kingdom of heaven if deep in our hearts we long for the approval of a broken world? My friends, we must set our minds not on human things but on divine things. Therefore, as you wrestle with the great balancing act of life in the 21st century, know that those who choose love no matter what it costs live with far more joy in their lives than those who have gained the approval of the world. The preacher, who is no longer a Southern Baptist, said it like this: this little church in Kennesaw, we paid a price to do it, but I'm not willing to tell people God made you, but God hates you because of how you are, so I'm not going to do it anymore. I wish that we could all be so brave to love like this, because such willingness to face rejection in the name of love, when we make such a choice, we choose the path that our Savior tread. To truly follow, my friends, we must leave the world behind. And we must live in such a way that in us they catch a glimpse of the reign of love and mercy which is to come. Now, doing so has never been easy, and it won't ever be easy while we are on this earth. But listen to this. While most preachers settled into a society of segregation, there was one who gave his life for the cause, and this is what he had to say. For years now, I've heard the word wait. Wait has almost always meant never. So we must come to see that justice too long delayed is justice denied. Love too long delayed is love denied. We all must be so bold as to risk what we have now to love people better. For who was Abraham but one like these others who gave up his present circumstance to be a part of God's great plan to love all future generations into existence? This is the way of Christ. Sacrificing the acceptance of the world for glory eternal. Come, let us follow, risking something, but gaining everything. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.